You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
This is kayfake. Donald Trump was seen laying thousands of $100 bills near the Capitol building to repay the Russians for an easy election. Now the weather. Jane?
Thank you, Jim. Today it's going to snow and hail.
But it's September.
Yeah, I know. It's all Trump's fault.
Do you often wonder if the diagnosis and estimate from your auto repair shop is, well, fake? Are you told the car needs one repair, and after that repair, the problem is still exactly the same? At Perfection Auto Works, when you get our free inspection and diagnosis, it's never fake. We back our repairs with our one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. Call Perfection Auto Works today for an appointment. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, emissions, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Are you safer now than 4 years ago? For 19 consecutive years, the crime rate has gone down in the U.S., but not in Pima County. In the past 4 years since Napier became sheriff, the crime rate has gone up, way up. In fact, crime here is up a full one-third more than 4 years ago, when Chris Nanos was our sheriff. Bring crime back down. Bring Nanos back in.
We need Nanos for sheriff.
Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff. Authorized by Chris Nanos.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked about and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you so much for making that possible. This is where you meet the candidates of 2020. You'll meet Ethan Orr today, former legislator, now candidate for the Pima Community College Board. You'll meet Michael Hicks. He's running for the House of Representatives, District 10. He's a Republican. Rex Scott's running for the Board of Supervisors in Supervisory District 1. And then we'll talk financial news with Jim Hanley. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us. Here's Ethan Orr. Hi, Ethan. How are you?
John, how you doing? It's great to be on your show.
Thank you so much. Let's talk Pima Community College business here. We know that we had an accreditation situation in which the accreditation of Pima Community College came into question. It was all at one time almost a point that they were going to lose accreditation. Does this Pima Community College governing board of today have the ability and the authority to prevent this from ever happening again? What's your take on the board's oversight responsibilities?
Well, I think they absolutely do have the ability and the responsibility. I've been going through, I think what you need to do to prevent the debacle of 8 years ago is go through, just like I did when I was in the state legislature, go through the budget line by line, go through the policies page by page, and hold the chancellor, hold the staff accountable. That is the most important way to avoid that. I think Pima's on a great track right now. We're going to keep it on that track. And I think it's also a great way to kind of set up a better future. I mean, one thing that we're really doing in our campaign that's been so gratifying to me is we're making this campaign about hope. We're articulating how we're going to create a better future for our community. And most of that means you have to get into the details. But I will say, even on the campaign trail, I'm running into people who want to go back and get their GED. That's why I want to create concurrent classes where you can get GEDs. And you can get your vocational training for people who want to upgrade their skills and their employability. In fact, just yesterday, I'm meeting students as young as 10, but just yesterday I met a 13-year-old who had aspirational dreams. He wanted to see a better future. He was showing me his artwork, and that we need to make a Pima College that serves that student as well, that by tying more closely recruiting out of our local K-12 system, recruiting and partnering with our local JTED for completer certificates that can be stackable into an associate's or baccalaureate. And going back to that young man I was thinking about, not only was he showing me this very intricate and beautiful artwork and showing me the different perspectives, but most importantly, because I do my my dirty secret is I play Minecraft with my daughters. He was giving me some pretty good gaming tips. So most important to me is we have to get in the details. We have to know that to avoid the debacle of 8 years ago. But what I find is that it's actually inspirational. There's so many people I'm meeting on the campaign trail who genuinely care about our community, genuinely want to make Puma College a better place, and genuinely see it as that gateway of hope that it was for me so many years ago.
Let me ask you to talk directly into the microphone. We're having a little bit of trouble with the phone here, so just maybe...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's going to be a lot better. Okay. Let me ask you this. There's been a debate going on at Pima Community College for the last few decades, literally, about who should be admitted to Pima Community College. There are those who say everybody should be admitted, and no matter how unsuccessful you may have been in high school, you can still get into Pima Community College. You're not qualified. You use up your scholarship money or money that you could borrow. Your loans are gone, and you're not successful because you weren't qualified to even finish high school. Now you're not qualified to do college-level work, and you're done. And everybody says, well, no, anybody should be able to. What is your admission policy as a board member of Pima Community College?
Well, my admission policy would be to keep the admission policy the same way where it is right now. The admission policy stands that anyone, we're an open enrollment school, anyone can come to Pima College. In order to qualify for that financial aid, you do need to have your GED or high school equivalency. Now, I think what Pima College can do, and what I would do as a board member, is work on creating more effective remedial classes and routes to strengthen our students that are there. That means also going into the K-12 system, working with all of our superintendents to raise the standards and raise, again, those aspirations and abilities of our students. When I was in the legislature, I met with every single superintendent in Southern Arizona on a regular basis, and I said, how can I help you make your district, in my district or out, how do I make your school district better? Now, in terms of students that don't have a GED, I think the way that you help them is you partner with some of our very good organizations like the Pima County One Stop, the Workforce Investment Board, and create these concurrent classes where you can work on your GED, you can work on your vocational skills at the same time, and we have strong employment placement to get you a job. But in terms of our admission standards, I think they are right as they are now.
Let me ask you about the state's funding of Pima Community College, other colleges, community colleges around the state. Why, you served the majority of the House of Representatives, why can't this state understand what a great investment it would be to invest more into our junior college system in the state of Arizona rather than what we do now, which is nothing from the state?
John, that is a great question. When I was in the legislature, and I was the last one able to do it from Southern Arizona, I protected the baseline funding at $8 million a year. Because I was in the legislature, Pima College was fully funded in terms of our baseline funding. In fact, I was able to increase our funding by adding an additional $4.5 million a year to adult education. So I was able to bring all the things I did combined, over $25 million, to Pima College. The way that I did that and the way that I will endeavor to do it when I am on the board is by creating, and you know this, you were in the Senate, you have to be able to count the 16, you have to be able to count the 31, to create partnerships. There are 10 community college districts around this entire state. 8 of them are rural, with 20% of our students. They are actually, in fact, fully funded. What governors like to do is they divide the two, because two of them, Maricopa and Pima College, have 20% of our students. By dividing them and cutting Maricopa and Pima College, they cut funding statewide by 80%, but they can still give themselves credit for fully funding higher education. We need to make sure that we're creating a strong relationship with all 10 districts where we speak with one voice on funding issues, where I can go to Yavapai, and in my job at the U of A, I've created incredibly strong relationships with the leaders of all of the community colleges. We need to have Yavapai Community College advocating for Pima College and vice versa, so that we cannot divide the voice between rural and urban. That is how I was able to block some very bad bills that would have cut our library funding. That is how I was able to secure our funding for Pima College when I was in the legislature. It is exactly how I will get the funding restored when I am on this board.
All right, how do people help Ethan Orr get elected to the Pima Community College Board?
Well, the first thing I want to say is this campaign is not I'm making it not about me. I'm making it about Pima Community College and how we have it better, how we make it better. So I want to hear your stories about how we, your ideas for Pima College. I want to hear your stories about how Pima College helped you. If you like my campaign, please go to my website, Ethan, F-O-R, Pima.com, Ethan for Pima.com. Certainly as a candidate, I ask for your vote in November. I hope you donate. I hope you walk. But more importantly, before we go in November and after November, let's coalesce as a community about how we protect this gem that is Pima Community College.
Ethan, it's good to talk with you. We'll talk again soon before this election ends. Appreciate you running. Appreciate you being on the show. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of yours with us.
John, thank you for your time. I appreciate the chance.
You bet. Ethan Orth is a former legislator, now candidate for the Pima Community College Board. Speaking of the legislature, Michael Hicks was on the TUSD school board. He's running for the House of Representatives in District 10. We will talk with him next.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be your new Pima County Supervisor. This district hasn't had a competitive election in 48 years, and I'm running to finally give voters like you a real choice. Our current County Supervisor, Steve Christie, supports the failed policies of Doug Ducey and Donald Trump. Christie voted against protecting public health during this pandemic. Christie, Ducey, and Trump made Arizona one of the worst COVID-19 hotspots in the world. Pima County can't afford more business as usual. In 2020, change is on the ballot. A vote for Steve Diamond is a vote for environmental protection, fair housing regulations, equal rights, justice, and economic development without tax giveaways. Steve Christie works for special interests. I will work for you. I'm Steve Diamond, and I approve this message. Paid for by Steve Diamond for Supervisor.
I'm Nick Pearson. My motto for many years has been La Comunidad Primero, the community first. Our children are the most important part. We must improve academics and close the student achievement gap. We must improve the technology gap and stabilize the district financially. I'm experienced and well qualified to serve on the TUSD school board. I will provide the balance and strong finance background needed to help stabilize the school district. I'm running for the TUSD governing board, and I'm seeking your vote on November 3rd.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. With me now, Michael Hicks, a former member of the TUSD School Board, now candidate for the House of Representatives District 10. He's a Republican. Michael, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of concerned about you and others that are running. This is a difficult time. I know you're trying to go door to door. I don't know how much people are treating you at the door, but this is a unique situation that we've never faced before, certainly as a political candidate looking for votes. How different is this from other campaigns you've been involved in? And they've been very successful for TUSD, but this has got to be a unique and very, very unusual situation for you.
Well, it definitely is, but we're charging through it. We are going door to door. I am introducing myself to individuals, and we're keeping our safe distance, or 6 feet or more distance from individuals. But I've been actually received fairly well.
Wow, people aren't turning you away. they're willing to open the door.
Well, there are some that are, and some just don't open. But, you know, that's okay. I'm doing literature drops right now. So we're looking for volunteers to come help. But we're getting a very good response.
And, you know, it used to be you could go to a group of people and you'd sit in front of, 100 people or 500 or 50 or whatever and answer questions. This is an unique situation in which everything's on Zoom or means by which you talk on the phone. It's just so unusual, so different for any political campaign, just so different.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It is a more difficult environment in doing this. But, you know, we need to go through this, and I need to get my face out there and make sure that my neighbors know who I am and what I stand for. And it's been received very well. I'm very happy with it so far.
Let's talk about why you're running for the legislature. You were on the school board for a long period of time, and now a move to the legislature. Why this particular choice?
Well, again, my foster father was Lou Murphy, who was the mayor of this town for 16 years. And one of the things he instilled in us was, you know, the love of Tucson. I love this town just as much as he did. If maybe, you know, he might have loved it a little bit more than me, but I love this town. I want to make this town, this city, a city that we can all respect and continue to grow in. You know, I want to, I want to make a difference in this town. I want to make sure that we have good health care and dental care. I want to make sure that we have economic development for Tucson, real economic development, which will come out and help fostering new businesses and startups and innovations. And we need jobs. I also want to work with public safety within the city of Tucson and my LD-10. I also want to, you know, as you said, I was on the TUSD school board for 8 years. I've been teaching at Pima Community College for over 34 years, and I now also teach motorcycles. So education is very dear to my heart. So I want to do what I can to continue our educational institutions and make them and make our students the best students around.
You know, it seems like at times Southern Arizona has been a stepchild to Maricopa County. That's where all the votes are. That's where most of the legislators come from. And it's been difficult to get the kind of representation we need to get what is ours. The HERF funding is examples of that. If we don't get our HERF money back, it makes it more difficult to fix our roads. And, you know, it's a battle just to get an equality for the people that pay the same amount of taxes as Maricopa County does but don't have the same political advantage.
Well, I absolutely agree, but that's where my voice is going to be different up in Maricopa County. I am not going to be catering to Maricopa County or to the individuals up there. My voice is going to be for Southern Arizona, for Tucson, and for the residents of Legislative District 10. And I will be very vocal, and I will be very forceful in getting what we need down here to survive.
You know, you've always
time for a change.
You've always been an outspoken individual. That's been kind of your mantra throughout your whole political career on the TUSD school board and such. That's just you, isn't it?
That's just me. You know, I do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to fight for what's right for Tucson. You know, with our HERF funding, not only our HERF funding, but also our educational funding. It's appalling to me how some of our former electeds that go up to the state representatives and they don't fight for Tucson. They say, well, yeah, no, I will fight for Tucson. I will fight for Legislative District 10.
So how do people support the Michael Hicks campaign for the House?
Well, they can support by donating some money. We're still dealing with that. They could go to Hicks. The number 4 Tucson.com. You can register there. We have a donation page. We need volunteers to go out door to door. You can just do literature drops. You don't have to communicate with people. You can just drop our literature, or you can talk to people. I like talking to my constituents and my neighbors. So anyone, we're looking for help.
Let's talk about your priorities if you get to the House of Representatives. What's the first thing you'd want to do as you're sworn into the House?
Well, one of the first things I want to do is come up with a bill to limit the terms of school board members. I believe that we need to get new blood on our school boards and not have the same people on our school boards for decades and decades. As you know, I was on the TUSD school board again for 8 years, and I saw things that needed to change, and they wouldn't change because it's the same regime. And so I want to do that. I want to work on educational things, and I want to work on our transportation, our HERF funding, and where that HERF funding is going to, such as our traffic signals. You know, people, I get so many people coming to me with complaints about having to stop at a traffic signal and nobody's there. And then I go through the whole communications as to why that's happening. And we should be able to fix those.
You know, you drive a motorcycle. I know you do. It's a great bike, by the way. But boy, that you take your life in your hands every time you get on it. I mean, I only got about a minute left here, but it's dangerous in this town, isn't it?
Well, it's not. You just have to know how to ride a motorcycle. You need to know, don't put yourself into predicaments. But I can tell you where all the potholes are in
I'll bet
city.
You can. single one of them. Yeah.
But like I said, I teach people how to ride motorcycles, and I teach them how to be safe and how not to put themselves into predicaments where they're going to get into trouble, you know, how to look at vehicles and what to look for, signs to look for. So it's not dangerous. You know, it's no more dangerous than walking across the street. It's how we perceive and how we deal with the challenges on that.
All right, very quickly, I've got about 30 seconds. Tell people again how they help the Michael Hicks campaign for the House.
They can register with at Hicks, the number 4, Tucson.com, and they can go up and they can donate if they can. We're definitely taking donations. I'm running a very lean campaign here, and we also have volunteers that can be signed up there.
Michael Hicks, we'll talk to you again before this campaign ends. It's good to talk with you. I'm glad you're in the race, and I appreciate you being on the show today. Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, I appreciate you and all your listeners.
Thank you
very, very much.
You bet. Michael Hicks, a former member of the TRC School Board, now a candidate for the House of Representatives in Legislative District 10, a Republican. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, one of the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk shows in all of Arizona. Thanks for making that possible. We'll return after the news at the bottom of the hour. Rex Scott, candidate for the Board of Supervisors, District 1, my guest. And then we'll talk money with Jim Hanley, financial advisor, after these messages. I'm John C. Scott, and over many years of broadcasting in Tucson, I have seldom recommended without any reservations an auto repair shop to keep my car running. I know nothing about car repair. If the car runs and it stops, it's good enough for me. I can tell you I've been ripped off so many times I can't count them. Finally, that's changed. Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works has advertised on the station for years. I paid no attention until the timing belt went out on my car, the engine was destroyed. I talked to Mike, he told me what I needed to do and what I needed not to do. I trust him. I'm glad I did. It saved me over $1,000. Mike and I aren't on the same political team, but we're friends, and I don't have to worry about my car ever again. Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works hires only ASE certified technicians. They're the best. If you want peace of mind when it comes to repairing your car, talk to Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, or call him at 323-8650. Or you can find him online at perfectionautoworks.com. That's it. I trust Mike Emery. You can too.
Hello, my name is Representative Pam Powers Hanley. I grew up in a tiny house in the Rust Belt, but my family always had food on the table and a roof over our heads. Arizona's children don't have those luxuries. I proposed legislation to expand maternal and child health and to tackle adverse childhood experiences like food, housing, and financial insecurity. Although Democrats held 48% of the legislature, Republicans blocked good bills like these with partisan gamesmanship. It's time for a new day. Instead of feather-bedding corporations with tax breaks, the legislature should guarantee food and housing security and quality schools for all of Arizona's children. It's time to prioritize the people's to-do list of education, healthcare, infrastructure, and security. As a progressive Democrat, I ask for your vote on November 3rd. Paid for by Powers Hanley for House 2020, I am Pam Powers Hanley. I authorize this message.
Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Let's get an update on the campaign of Rex Scott, running for the Board of Supervisors as a Democrat in Supervisor District 1. Rex, welcome to the show. Thanks.
John, good to be with you. I thought about you just this afternoon because I was delivering literature to one of our volunteers and was behind a car with a Kansas Jayhawk license frame. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be talking to a Jayhawk a little later this afternoon.
Kansan by birth, Jayhawk by the grace of God. There you go. All right, here's the deal. Your opponent is one of the nastiest people I've ever run across. I was listening to him on one of the radio shows of this station, and all he could say was nasty things about you. He doesn't have any particular program of his own. And, of course, as he wrote for The Independent, and was kind of an aide and, I guess, an ally of Allie Miller, he adopted much of her approach to government, which is just one negative thing after another. I don't even know how you run against a campaign when you can't really debate the issues that are so critical to the future of Pima County. How do you do that?
Well, John, it's unfortunate, but our opponent is running a campaign that is not worthy of these times. In a time of extraordinary crisis and challenge, sadness and loss, he is running a campaign that is replete with half-truths and mistruths, childish name-calling, and we shouldn't be surprised because this is what he did in the primary. When he ran against the other three Republicans in the primary, he called one of them a childish, alliterative nickname, misrepresented the positions of his opponents, and that's a reason why two-thirds of Republicans voted for somebody other than him. Now, and it's also a reason why one of his primary opponents still refuses to endorse him. Now we come into the general election, and not only is he continuing the same tactics against his opposition, but he is also continuing something else that he started during the primary, which is being someone who minimizes the effects of this virus. He used to call it the Chinese virus. At least he is now using more appropriate terminology. He admitted during our Arizona Daily Star editorial board forum that he violates local mask mandates, that the only place that he will wear a mask is in church. He refutes and disputes the advice of public health experts about how to deal with this pandemic. Honestly, he seems to be modeling his campaign after the person in the White House in terms of how he conducts himself and in terms of how he approaches the pandemic.
I think the whole country is going to have a voice on the way that individual has conducted himself in the White House. And certainly I think they're going to have the same kind of reaction in Supervisor District 1. This used to be a Republican district. It's much more balanced than it's ever been. We've had this discussion before of how much closer the registration numbers are, Republican to Democrat. You might explain that again and why this is a district that Democrats can win and you can win.
And John, I would refer your listeners to an opinion column that I have in today's Arizona Daily Star where I speak to the fact that this district is the only purple district among the five. We have 55,000 Republicans, 52,000 Democrats, 40,000 independents or members of smaller parties. And the district needs somebody who is going to honor all voices and consider all points of view before they make decisions on behalf of the district. I have a record as both a voter and as a public sector leader that speaks to my ability to be that independent voice for District 1. And I would encourage voters to make the comparison between how I would be the independent voice that we would need with what our opponent brings to the table.
Your opponent, too, has demeaned your profession as an educator. My mother was a school teacher for 36 years. My father taught school for decades as well. I grew up in a family of educators. And they were proud educators. They didn't do it for the money because I swear to goodness they didn't make any money teaching school in Kansas during all those years. But I will tell you they took a great deal of pride in the young people that they were able to help along the way and the lives that they changed because of the dedication to these students who came years after they graduated from the schools where my mother and father taught to our doorstep to thank them both for what they were given as an education. I don't know how you demean a profession in this attack on you, But if you will, I only have a couple minutes left here. But why does this education background and this profession that you've chosen for all these years qualify you for a board seat in Pima County Supervisor District 1?
Well, John, I've been working in our public schools as either a teacher or an administrator since 1991. And half of my career was spent working in schools that are within District 1. So I've already built relationships and the rapport and trust that is the foundation for those relationships with thousands of families within the district. And one of the things that you must do if you're seeking to represent people is to build strong relationships, rapport, and trust with them. I already have that foundation with thousands of families within the district, and I will use it to reach out to every other resident of District 1 so that I can be that independent voice on the board that they deserve.
Well, I've said this of the incumbent Ellie Miller. She is ill-suited for public office. Her demeaning approach to almost every one that she came in contact with, as well as the lack of respect for anybody that might have disagreed with her, the same thing for her lackey, who is now the candidate, just strikes me as a direction that this district should not take, nor Pima County does not need. I wish you the best. Tell people how they can support Rex Scott for supervisor.
John, I would encourage people to go to our website, scottforsupervisor.com. That's the number 4. You can make a donation. We do have a fundraising deadline on September 30th, which is Wednesday. You can also request a yard sign or volunteer. But the most important thing that they can do is tell their families, friends, and neighbors in District 1 that we've got a chance to have somebody on the board who's going to be the independent voice that the district deserves.
Rex Scott, good luck on your campaign. We hope so much that you win this thing. Go work hard, and I know you will. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
You bet. Rex Scott, supervisor candidate, Democrat, Supervisor District 1. We're going to talk financial news with Jim Hanley, who is our expert, our financial advisor. So does the stock market reflect the economy? If the stock market is high and sound and strong, does that mean the economy is high and strong? We're going to ask Jim Hanley about that. And what about investments? Hospitality? There is no hospitality industry in America anymore. Trains and planes and hotels, how would you invest in them? What should be the investment you're going to make if you're in the market today? Jim Hanley will talk about that next on the John C. Scott Political Forum, right after these messages.
I'm Catherine Ripley, and I'm running for Pima Community College Governing Board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As a former U.S. diplomat, I was the voice that brought diverse and opposing forces together. Today, as an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and enriched. And now, as a mom who's raised 2 children, I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. The people of Pima County deserve equal access to the affordable education and technical training programs that only can be offered at Pima. They deserve a fair shot at getting jobs. They deserve equity and dignity in the workplace, and we need them now more than ever. This is a critical election year. We need your voice, your values, and your votes. I want to be your voice to ensure we are all heard. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. 5 times Beth has asked for the support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County treasurer. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020. The words in the handout from Dr. Randy Fries reads a doctor who gets results. These words sum up Dr. Randy Fries' hard work and commitment to the voters in Legislative District 9. Dr. Randy Fries has fought an unending battle for quality access to health care. As a doctor, as a veteran, as an educator, Dr. Randy Fries has fought to improve the quality of life for all Arizonans. Dr. Randy Fries is a legislative leader that gives Southern Arizona a voice of responsible government. Vote for Dr. Randy Fries in the November 3rd general election. This message is paid
paid for by Dr. Randy Fries for House and authorized by Dr. Randy Fries. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for joining us. With me is Jim Hanley. He's a financial advisor. I have many questions for him. Let's get to them. Jim, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here, John.
A question I've always had is, if the stock market's strong, does that mean the economy's strong? What's the relationship to the market and the economy of America?
Well, it does not necessarily mean that Main Street is doing well when the stock market is up, John, because if you take a look at employment, and that's what we want to, if we're wondering if Main Street is doing well, what we want to know is, are people working? Are people working? Are they? Do they have good benefits? Do they have safe working conditions? Those kinds of elements really are what we would regard as a healthy Main Street. Well, let's take a look at small businesses. Small businesses employ almost 50% of the entire workforce in the country. There are 27.9 million of these businesses that have fewer than 500 employees. That there's 18,500 companies with more than 500 employees. And so if you think then about how many companies are publicly traded, only the very, very largest companies, unless they're IPOs, some exceptions for that, are publicly traded. So the way that huge corporations are doing does not necessarily indicate that the country or that the common worker in the country is doing well. Let's take a look at how the stock ownership is stratified. 38% of the stock market is owned by 1% of the investors. 81% is owned by the top 10. The bottom 80% of stock market investors own only 8% of it. So we can see by this that even say a modest investor with a modest amount of money in the stock market, there's just not a whole lot of them anyway. So stock prices are what make for a booming stock market, and those prices are typically supported by earnings. If you don't have earnings, it's going to be difficult for you to have a high stock price, unless you have a company that is innovative, something like that investors will see there is profits to be made in the future, and so they will bet on the long run profitability of a company. Now, profits are a function of product versus payroll, and so if you have if you can suppress wages in your company, that will have a bearing on your profits. Your profits will be higher. And so here we have with large corporations, if they can suppress wages, their profits will be higher and they will be more appealing to investors. So there'll be a higher stock price. So right there we see there's an inverse relationship between corporate stock and the welfare of the people that are working for those companies.
Jim, let me ask you this. The idea of what guides you when you advise people how to invest their money, what foundation do you lay? What guides you to make a decision for people about their money?
Well, John, there's quite a few factors. We usually do a risk profile analysis, what we call in the industry. And the risk profile has these factors. Some individuals can tolerate larger swings in their accounts, in their portfolio values. Those investors have a higher risk tolerance. So they're not going to be calling their broker or their advisor If they get a statement and see that their account is down 5% or 10% from the month before, so they can tolerate more risk. And what you find in a more risky portfolio are I'm sorry, I've got a call coming in. It's distracting me. Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
So also, we advisors need to know how much of their net worth is at stake here. So if they're investing everything they own, and it's their entire nest egg, that also has a bearing on how much risk that the advisor will put into the portfolio.
I told you, you've got other issues out there, too. I mean, if you want people to invest in the hospitality industry, which used to be airlines, hotels, tour companies, travel all over the world, that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, you've got a complete entire industry that doesn't exist anymore. At least I wouldn't think it would exist for many investors. That's changed everything, hasn't it, Jim?
Well, I think that, you know, speculators might think, well, look at how depressed these airline stock prices are. I'm going to buy that, you know, that stock. Well, I think there was a bit of a bump after the April decline, March and April decline, but there's still, you know, you have to look at again, what is the capacity of the airlines and how many people are using that capacity. If they're only using about 30% or 40%, that's 60% of empty seats on an airplane can never be sold again. So, you know, I think that is, the airlines are one industry that is being particularly hard hit by the pandemic, because, you know, we have people know this is an enclosed space. They don't quite know about the air circulation. People are really close together. So I think that for that reason, a lot of people are not flying these days. We also know that there has been because we are applying technology that we had before, and, you know, for people to meet, even relatives just to visit with each other. We have this video conferencing now. So I think that we're going to see a permanent reduction in business travel by air, and all of the hotel utilization and those other related industries depressed, or having a permanent change, because you just don't need to fly an individual across the country to sit in a boardroom or to sit in an executive suite with someone else to talk to them. So I think that, you know, we may see a permanent reduction in the amount of capacity that's necessary for commercial air travel.
Jim, tell people how they can get in touch with you to talk about the unique opportunities that also exist, along with the great challenges that are probably unique to this pandemic. Quickly, how do they get a hold of Jim Hanley, LLC?
Okay, they can call me. My phone number is 520-623-3646. They can email me at jim@jimhanleyllc.com. And my last name is spelled Hanley. Those probably those two ways, calling me or emailing me, are the best ways to get a hold of me, John. Thank you for asking.
Well, I really appreciate it. We've got a scheduled group of interviews that we're going to do over a period of time that are so informative and so necessary that people keep an eye on this economy because it is so unique to all of us. We've never been here before. And yep. It's going to be a difficult time for all of us, and we're in it together. Jim, thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Thank you.
You too.
You're back.
All right.
Call Jim Hanley, 623-3646. 623-3646. He's a brilliant financial advisor. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. I want to thank Mike Hanley for being with us. Thank you, Jim Hanley. I appreciate it very much. Mike Emery has been with us with Perfection Auto Works. Take your car there for repair, please. Mike Emery is an honest mechanic. Really? Yes, he is.
Today's weather, sunny and clear with cooler temperatures on the way. Now, back to more music.
This was a great idea, honey, to have the family get together. Haven't seen the grandkids in a long time.
Yes, and wait until the kids see the new pool we had installed. They will love it.
Oh boy, I can't wait. Now let's see. New barbecue grill, check. Steaks, check. Cooler full of cold drinks, check. Oh, and perfect weather, check.
Wonderful.
That was close. Get undercover, honey. Get out of here. It's a twister. It's a twister.
Are you sick and tired of being told it's going to be a nice sunny day, but it's everything except that? Same with auto repair. You're told it's the brakes, but it turns out to be the engine. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650, for accurate reports on your car or truck repairs, brakes, tires, oil changes, complete auto repair, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.